Well, grace, mercy, and peace be with all of you here this day from our triune God. Well, her screen name is Lexi, and she wants to know whether she is pretty or whether she is ugly. But rather than to go and ask her parents, or maybe to ponder this question with her friends, this middle school student decided instead to pose the question to the world at large via YouTube. So that's why the screen is down today, because we're going to play just this little video of Lexi here. Go ahead.
Hi guys, my name is Lexi, and I wanted to make a video to ask if I was pretty or ugly. Now, please be honest, because a lot of people say that I'm ugly. And I just wanted to know the truth. Am I pretty or ugly? And another thing, be honest. It's okay what you say. I don't really care if I'm pretty or... people call me ugly at school, and then other people call me really pretty, and a lot of people call me ugly too, but I want to know if I was pretty or ugly, so please just write comments if I'm pretty or ugly. Yep, that's all. And also look at my other videos called... Yeah, never mind. Don't look at my other videos. Thanks. Bye.
Now, in case you don't know this, Lexi is not alone. In fact, she represents a growing number of young girls who have been jumping on to online sites like YouTube and Instagram and Facebook by the thousands, and begging very sweetly, although also rather naively, for input on their level of attractiveness. And as you might imagine, this fad has many a parent of a tweenage girl looking to go and toss her laptop into the trash, retreat to an Amish community somewhere, and lock their daughters away until about the age of 30. And yet, if we ponder what's truly bothersome here about this trend, we must admit that it isn't the fact that our kids are wondering about whether or not they're attractive. Let's face it, that question is a common and also consistent one about not just among adolescents, but also among every adult who happens to own a mirror. The question itself is a normal one. But for an insecure child looking to affirm her self-worth, the anonymous world of YouTube commentators is probably the worst possible kind of audience, because it is a world that is often populated by unemployed dudes in their mid-20s who still live at home in their parents' basements and are working on a double major in Tommy Wiseau movies and jaded sarcasm at Slacker University. Don't ask these guys if you're pretty, because you don't want to know their answer. However, asking someone who truly knows you, someone who truly loves you and cares about you and whose opinion you respect and who wants the very best for you, asking them to give you feedback can be incredibly healthy and highly constructive. And that's because a father knows what's truly beautiful about his daughter. And a mother knows what is potentially ugly about her son. A wife knows when her husband is the most handsome person on the planet. And a lifelong friend can be trusted to tell you when you're being kind of a jerk. Yes, these folks, ask these folks if you're pretty. It's fine to do that. Because their answers is certainly ones worth listening to. And yet we can't expect Lexi to understand yet such things as this. However, as followers of Jesus, we should. In fact, such a candid self-assessment is downright encouraged here this morning as we read this first chapter of James's epistle. Now, this brother of Jesus recommends here that we regularly assess our own beauty as baptized, believing members of God's holy family and root out anything that might be considered in us spiritually ugly. He writes here, "You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. For your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourself of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness." As members of God's family, we must be willing to ask that question, "Am I spiritually beautiful? And am I reflecting that righteousness of Christ in the way that I am thinking, in the way that I am acting and treating others? Or do I look like I've been hit with an ugly stick of sin?" And if we've learned as we have learned, the audience for this question is what really makes all the difference in the world. Because you see, we can quickly ask ourselves this question and we will only end up seeing what we want to see. Or we can go to someone who knows us, someone who loves us, someone who wants what is best for us, someone who will look well beyond what is on the surface and peer deep down into our souls. And who might that be? Well, it's the God who loves us, the one who saves us through Jesus the Christ. And how might we ask for God's opinion of our spiritual beauty, you might ask? Well, according to James here, the looking glass of spiritual beauty, the forum for feedback on our spiritual features and the tool that God uses to cultivate change in his children is God's word. And that's what James is driving at here a little later in that text when he says that we are to be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror, for they look at themselves and, on going away, immediately forget what they were like. The truth is that the truth is found in Scripture, and it has the ability to lovingly reveal how God perceives us. And then based on that feedback, we are able to discern how we should live in response to God's word. It's a truth so trustworthy and instruction so vital as to reject it is to embrace a life then of self-deception and to be unchanged by God's power. In other words, when we open God's word and are ready for an honest spiritual assessment, God speaks to us in two ways: through the words of the law and through the words of the gospel. So let's start then first with the law. The law is given to us whenever we hear God telling us what we should or what we shouldn't do, or the kind of person that we are expected to be. Martin Luther liked to say that such commands not only tell us what to do, but how we have failed to do them. And so we are crushed under the weight of them. And in this way, the law serves to show us our spiritual ugliness. And when bursting with pride, or when tempted to trust in our own awesomeness, the law reveals who we truly, actually are. But this revelation of our spiritual ugliness through the mirror of God's law and through the burden of God's commands actually serves a positive purpose here. When Jesus confronted us with that admonition to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, his goal wasn't to crush our spirits and to be cruel to us. He is not some sort of junior high school boy who is saying, "You're so ugly that you make onions cry." Or, "You're so ugly that when you were born, the doctor took one look at you and then went and slapped your mother." Or, "You're so ugly that when you went into a haunted house, you came out with an application." Of course not. When we approach God's word, seeing a true assessment of ourselves, and the law then crushes us under the reality of our sin, the intention is that by being hearers of the word, we'll also then be doers of that word, and in essence run, cling to Christ. Again, Martin Luther puts it kind of like this: after the law has humbled, terrified, and completely crushed you so that you are on the brink of despair, then see to it that you know how to use the law correctly, for its function and use is not only to disclose the sin and wrath of God, but to also drive us to Christ. So we are driven to Christ in confession of sins to a Christian friend. We are driven to Christ with a prayer of thanksgiving for the great exchange that happens through our baptism when we get to wear his righteousness and his goodness. We are driven to Christ when we cry out to him saying, "Lord, I see who I am because of my sin. Now, tell me how much you still love me through the cross." And this then brings us to the words of the gospel. Because if the law is that word which tells us what is demanded of us from God, revealing our ugliness, the gospel then is that word that tells us what's been done for us by God, revealing how lovely and how beautiful we are to God, how treasured and how valued and how desired we are by God. The gospel is heard in words like those that are found in Galatians chapter 2, where Paul writes, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." It's when we come to God's word, already convinced of our own flaws and our own deep imperfections, already buckling under the weight of the world's expectations, that we need to then hear these words whispered into our ears. We need them to tell us that we are no longer ugly on the account of our sins, but that we have been made over in the eyes of God through the work of Christ. Like the law before it, these words of the gospel serve not only to tell us who we are, but to transform how we live. Once we've heard this word, we then become doers of that word, seeking to live in a manner that reflects the beauty, the beautiful, the beloved, the grace-given creatures that God intended us to be. We become a doer of the word when we give grace to others, just as that grace has been given to us. We become doers of the word when we speak to others just as it has been spoken to us. And this is why James goes on here to say that if any think that they are religious and do not bridle their tongues, but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. We become a doer of the word whenever we embrace a loveliness with our doing that matches then the loveliness of our being. But without God's word of both law and gospel, it's impossible for any of us to see who we truly are and what God has truly called us to be. And yet, when we open ourselves up to God's word and are ready for a spiritual assessment of our lives, ready to ask that question, am I beautiful? Not to internet trolls, but to God. Then we will be transformed. Our God, who knows us and who loves us, will show us our sins, and we will then go cling to Christ. Our God, who wants what's best for us and who demands nothing at all from us, will whisper all that has been done for us, and we will respond in kind. And through this process, we'll hear who we actually are and will truly become then beautiful. Now, girls like Lexi still have a great deal to learn. No surprise there. She's still in middle school, and she's yet to fully grasp that so much of what we in the world label as pretty or as ugly is all subjective and contextual. What constitutes trim and fit today would have been labeled as being sickly just 100 or so years ago. And back during the Renaissance time, a huge forehead was considered to be a beautiful feature on a woman. And you can bet that in the future, folks will likely scoff at our current obsession with things like manscaping. But most of all, Lexi still needs to learn that while asking questions in life are fine and even essential, it's more important to be wise about it. So may we be encouraged by James here and his words in this morning's text to seek better ways of assessing our own spiritual beauty. And may we seek the critique from someone who knows us best, someone who loves us, someone who cares for us, and who wants what is best for us. May we seek to see our reflection here in God's word, where his law can drive us to Christ in response to what is broken in our lives, and to his gospel that drives us to show love towards one another in light of all the loveliness that he has already shown to us. Amen.